96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you feeling the football goosebumps yet? In just 2 days, it's all on the line as the National Football League prepares to crown the 2018 Super Bowl champions. Will we see Tom Brady and the Patriots dominate for the second year in a row, or will the Eagles bring the pain from the city of brotherly love? And what about the politics of protest? Will the players kneel? Well, we're talking Super Bowl tonight with NBC4 sportscaster Sherry Burris, former Washington cornerback Fred Smoot, and Howard University football coach Mike London. Lines are open. We want to hear what you have to say about Sunday. The plays, the politics, and everything in between. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHUR FM. Thanks, everybody, for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, ladies first, Ms. Burris.
Yes.
Even before kickoff, let's talk a little politics. Are we going to see the players kneel? One or two or several? Or is this one of those games where they're just not going to deal with that? What do you think?
I don't think we're going to see much kneeling, if any at all. I could see maybe one or two guys on the Eagles. Definitely no, in my opinion, from the Patriots. I think this is more about sort of the pageantry of it all and the grandeur of the Super Bowl more than a political statement for some of these guys. You're just trying to soak it in and not make it about, you know, the politics in a situation like this.
Well, first of all, you're totally right. I got to be honest about it. If somebody kneeling on their field Sunday, it's because they're praying. They're not, you know, they're not going to be kneeling. You know, I think it kind of stopped about 6 weeks ago. I think everybody kind of started to focus back on footballs and lean off of the politics. Now, I'm one of those players. I'm from Mississippi. I got 10 years in the NFL. I understand both sides of the pendulum. But I can promise you this, in a grand, and the Super Bowl is the most watched TV event and show every year. The players in the NFL has already got together and say, let's make this about football. Yep. Let's keep this about the game. Let's keep this about people tuning in to watch y'all guys. And I'll show the halftime show. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Everybody, a lot of people, they tune in for the halftime show. So it's the ultimate gladiator sports with the ultimate entertainment.
Okay, Coach, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I would agree that there probably were some conversations that were held prior to this, and as we've gone on, that the game in of itself is the spectacle. But you know, standing for the national anthem, I think some of the things earlier on the NFL had to deal with by looking at it, you know, face to face with the reality that there are some things that are not right and that deserve immediate attention. But you know, there were some community service aspects. There were some reaching out. There was some dialogue. So, you know, I believe that it probably will, as the previous person just mentioned about maybe a few individuals, but I don't think it'll be more of a grander scale of players kneeling.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Eagles and the Patriots. Super Bowl 52 coming up on Sunday. Who's your pick and why? I'd like to hear from you. Here's another question. I saw this today. Somebody help me with this. There was some discussion about the flu.
Oh, yeah.
And the Philadelphia Eagles. Is this the bird flu?
Oh, most definitely.
Maybe they can, hashtag bird flu.
Bird flu.
What's
going on with that?
It's like a family household. If a child gets a cold, mama, daddy, brother, sister, everybody gets a cold. It's a germ fest in a locker room.
See, you're spending so much time together in a confined space.
One person come in sick, we all have the chance to get sick. So that their staff, their training staff, they're used to dealing with this. So they're filling these guys for the fluids. They're on IVs. They're taking care of this. Believe me, they're taking the proper things to get this done. But it is their season for the flu, and nobody's exempt from it.
Have you ever played
with the flu?
Yeah.
Yeah, most of
the time. But what, I mean, because, you know, for us, you know, here, you get the flu, the boss says, stay home. Yeah. None of us are making the kind of money you made. But with that said, you know, the flu can be very, very debilitating. How do you do that?
No, you got to go play. Come on, man. Hey, listen to me. You know what people do for that type of money? The flu is the least of your worries. Hey, listen to me. Hey, we're going out there with, I've played with a fractured sternum. I've played with broken fingers. I've played with fractures in my ankle. Like, the flu is the least of your worries. I hope the flu is the only thing I can play with, because, like I said, they're going to fill us with IVs. We're going to have enough power, enough energy to go out there and finish that game. And once that adrenaline get going and you start to compete, you can care less about the flu. Jordan hit 50 points with the flu.
I was going to say, you can get a pair of shoes out of that, some flu games.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
You better get up, though, for the Super Bowl. If you're sneezing, you're like, coach, I can't play. I have
got the
cold.
Flu.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Get out. I mean, you got to get up for something like
it's
that.
It's the ultimate gladiator sport, and gladiators don't stop because they got the flu.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, because in the ring back in Roman days, the flu could get you killed.
Really. But a lot more, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach, what do you say to players with the flu?
You know, I would say, unless your leg is broke, pick it up and drag it off the field. But you're right. Between electrolytes and hydrating and the game time and all the emotions of it, I think people get back into the mindset of playing the game.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Super Bowl, Super Bowl number 52. Walter, calling from Northeast. Walter, what's on your mind, Walter?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Smooth, what is up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Walter? What's going on, brother?
Well, you know what? Nobody's talking about Joe Jacoby. This is his last chance to
be
in the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He's one of the few hogs that's not in there. I understand that. But the tricky thing about the Hall of Fame, though, every time somebody misses the year before, they add somebody like Ray Lewis and whoever just recently retired, and T.O. and the rest of these guys that have been waiting 3-4 years, Isaac Bruce. That's the tricky thing about the Hall of Fame. You can get passed over, but he can come back and get the old-time award.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
President 45 is a hater because he sued the NFL and got a little chump change, and he is a failure as an owner of the USFL. But I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl. I would love to see the Eagles sack Tom Brady, but you know the Patriots, they're going to pull it out somehow, some way, and keep an eye out on Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long. If he just sits or kneels, look for Chris Long to just stand by him. I think it's going to be. But that's the only thing that's going to happen. But the game is going to be off the chain. But I hate it. But I'm going to have to go with New England.
Come on, man! Hey, come on! Believe a little bit.
And see, here's the thing, because Eagles, Patriots, meh. That's the way I am. I'm never been a Patriots fan. You know, I'm just mad that Tom Brady got his jersey returned last year.
Hey, wait, take that.
But Sherry, do the Eagles really have a chance? Is there a possibility of a surprise tomorrow?
Sunday? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I looked up some stats just to make sure I was like on my P's and Q's here. The Eagles have one of the top defenses in the league, and they might be the hardest defense that the Patriots face all season. Granted, they did, you know, the Patriots are the Patriots. Tom Brady works his, like, you know, Salt Bay magic and things.
Salt
happen.
Bay.
Oh, yeah.
But I really thought Nick Foles was going to completely crumble last time out, and he stepped up. He was so strong that I think that they really do have a chance. And if the Patriots maybe overlook them thinking, oh, we got this dynasty, the Eagles. What was our hashtag we came up with? Flu game?
Bird flu.
Thank
you,
bird
so,
flu.
Walter, thank you so much. And here's the other question that I wanted to ask. What's the deal with Tom Brady's hand? I mean,
there's no deal. Stitches, pretty boy.
Is that a fake him out?
Hey, cry me a river. Hey, it's the end of the day. When the Prince hand gets hurt, everybody wants to report it. He has stitches in it. He played last game. He's going to be ready to play. But back to her question, yes, they have a chance to win. They got two former Patriots that could make history. They could be the first two guys to win a Super Bowl the year before and play for a new team the next year and win the Super Bowl. That's Chris Long on defense, who's a great pass rusher, and that's LeGarrette Blount on defense. So not only do they have the talent on the Patriots, they got two people that can get that Eagles team prepared for the way that the Patriots do things. And those two guys can share secrets. Those two guys can let people know who's the weakest offensive lineman, which I already know. They got a guard that can't block a collect call from jail. At the end of the day, if you want to know what's about to happen, that Philadelphia defensive line with Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and the rest of those guys, they are changers. Look at the two times New England lost their championship game. It was to New York. They had Strahan, Old Simeon Mignore, and the rest of those guys. If you can get Brady off his spot and you can finish at the end of games, I think you have a chance to beat them. And so now Philadelphia has a chance to take down that fake trophy, that fake statue of Rocky, and finally put up a championship trophy.
Coach, look in your crystal ball. Who's your pick and why?
Well, I tell you what, I love that energy. You need to come talk to the team the next time.
Anytime, Coach. Anytime, Coach.
I tell you what, I have a personal stake in this, in that when I was the coordinator at Virginia, I sat in the draft room in 2008 when Chris Long was the second pick in that draft behind Jake Long, who was a first pick with Miami Dolphins. You know, so Chris went on, become drafted by the Rams. Mm-hmm. And then, last year he was with the Patriots. So now he's with the Eagles. And there's also the safety, Rodney McLeod, with the Eagles, who also I coached when I was at Virginia. So there are two guys that were there as a player that, I began to love them and know them as guys, as young men that became educated young men. And as I said, Chris Long had me sitting in the green room with his dad Howie Long and his mom Diane, and it was such a thrill to see him get called up there by Goodell and be the second pick. So I agree that the pass rush for Philadelphia is phenomenal. There's a lot of guys that get after it. They're going to be coming from the corner blitzes, middle linebackers. You play a zero nose and 2-3 techniques and do all kind of twist games. So I bow down to the fact that the Patriots have been doing it. Brady's been in the Super Bowl 7 times and 5 times as a winner and all that. But I just think that now is the Eagles' time. And, again, because of personal reasons, I go with them.
There you go. Thank you, Coach. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Super Bowl 52 on Sunday. Who's your pick? Why? Let me hear you, Zeus, calling from White Plains. Zeus, what's on your mind?
Good evening, folks. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller, and lifelong Eagles fan. So I'm going with my home team. I'm picking them to win by 7 points, and not just off of home team bias. I think a couple of factors. One, this may very well be the weakest Super Bowl Patriots team. Outside of Gronkowski, I think that our defense match up very well with a lot of their offensive weapons, especially considering their lack of a strong running game. And we have one of the top, if not the, I think we have the number one run defense in the league coming into the game. The other side of that is I believe that the Philadelphia offense has over-exceeded expectations in the absence of Carson Wentz. I think our offensive line has stepped up tremendously. I think Nick Foles has gotten comfortable in running the offense. And I think that outside of James Harrison, there really aren't too many matchup threats on the Patriots defense. Now, I'm not taking away from their capability in game planning and being able to, step up when the time is called on. But I think this is a game that the Eagles are prepared to win, and I think they're getting overlooked at the wrong time. This is a game that they can take over and win by 7.
Okay, thank you so much, Zeus. Real quick before I go to the break, is there any possibility that the Patriots could be overconfident? Like he said, 7 times, 5 wins. They're spoiling for a repeat, but could they be just all puffed up and overconfident that they could forget themselves?
No such thing. First of all, that's a Bill Belichick coach team. He doesn't do that. No days off. Come in, do your job. No, that ain't how they're built. I went against this team my whole career. I watched this team my whole career. Every year he reinvents his team. Every year he puts his team in the mindset, we're all about today and we can only work towards tomorrow. Never would they come in there overzealous. That's okay. Not how he did.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to the rest of you. Give me a phone call, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We want to talk about your picks for Super Bowl 52. Winners, losers, why, how much? Give us a call. Lines are open. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls in just a bit. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking Super Bowl tonight, Super Bowl 52, with NBC4 sportscaster Sherry Burris, former Washington cornerback Fred Smoot, and Howard University football coach Mike London. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The plays, the politics, what do you think? Who's going to win? Who are you rooting for? And are you an underdog kind of person like I am? I'm a, Philadelphia, it's closer to
Rocky,
Tennessee.
Baby. That's the home of Rocky, the ultimate underdog.
Adrian! Let's go to Mike calling from D.C. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I hope the officiating will be a lot better because New England was not supposed to be in the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on, we can't do that. Don't start that crying now. If you do all that crying, what the baby going to do?
Look smooth. I'm an old football player from back in the day.
All right.
I'm back in the 60s. I'm back in the 60s.
Oh, leatherhead, huh?
Yep.
Leatherhead. Go ahead, Mike.
When we played football, we had a helmet, shoulder pads, and hip pads. That was it. We played ball.
Let me know, besides the cheating, why you think New England or Philly going to win this day.
I think Philly's going to win because of they're going to outsmart New England.
Oh, no, they're never going to do that.
How are they going to do that, Mike?
They got a mad scientist over there.
Yeah, but see, all you have to do is put pressure on Brady.
True.
You rush Brady, you think, and you rush Brady from both sides. He don't have that much time to think. You rush him, you hurt him.
Sheree, is he right? Is he right?
Yeah, there's definitely something to it. I mean, we've seen as... You were saying yeah. Brady kind of panics when he gets
moved out the spot.
Yep, and you see him crumble in like Denver. He didn't do well against the Giants, so there is something to be said about having that strong of a defense to sort of rattle Tom Brady. But at the end of the day, he has the experience. He clearly has the skill set. He has the weapons and tools to do it. So I don't think you can count out Tom Brady, regardless of how good of a defense the Eagles have.
Well, let's talk about those weapons and tools because, you know, as a – not as a sports expert, obviously, but just as a fan, you know, even as an observer, it just seems to me that when things get tight, we saw that during the championship, the Patriots always seem to come
execute
from behind, and I don't under
execute.
What is the okay? So
situation.
What happens during the first three quarters?
This is what make Bill Belichick the best coach of all time. Yeah, I said it, and everybody that knows sport will tell you he's the best football coach of all times. And what makes him better than the rest of the coaches is how he coaches situational football, how he coaches third down, how he coaches the red zone, how he coaches finishing drives, how he coaches the end of halftime. Hey,
well, explain that, Mike. Thanks so much for your phone call. What does that mean?
All right. A lot of teams go out and they practice the whole game like they playing the whole game. Great teams practice situations like third and six. They've practiced third and six so many times that they know the five plays that Brady wants to run on third and six. Red zone, they know when they it's third and two and they're in the red zone, they know the five favorite plays and the checks off of those plays, and they're going to run those plays so much that they become second nature. And when he gets you in situational football, he's going to beat you because not only is he's going to out chessmate your coach on the sideline, he has the ultimate competitor and the best quarterback of all time as his trigger man. That's why it never matters who's the receivers or the running backs. You can look at the numbers. They've had 52 wide receivers since they started winning Super Bowls and 48 running backs. That means they don't care who's around him. It's all about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That's all they need.
Talk to me about that.
Can I talk on that, too?
Yeah, I was about to ask you, Coach. Talk to me about situational coaching.
Yeah, you know, what Fred said was head on. Al Groh was the head coach at Virginia when I was there as an assistant, and he was under that Parcells tree, and Belichick was under that Parcells tree. And we talk about situational football that was mentioned. If you go back, you look, you know, the Patriots are, you know, they're tops in yards per play. They're tops in yards in the red zone. Touchdowns versus field goals. They get more touchdowns than field goals. Plays per game. So, you know, when you look at the game and how it's played, you do break the game up into different situations. And you look at over the season and over the years of a Belichick team, they've been they've been highly regarded in those areas. So it is important when you break the game down that that red zone area, getting touchdowns rather than field goals. At the end of the day, it adds up to wins.
Interesting. Here's the other thing I need to talk about. When we're talking about the Patriots, okay, the Gronk, Rob Gronkowski out of
concussion protocol.
Concussion protocol.
Yeah.
You know, there's been so much discussion about concussion protocol, CTE, and all of that this year. What are the chances that, you know, maybe they slid him out of concussion?
Oh, now, come on.
With the gun a little bit, trying to get him out there.
Well, I mean,
it's been 2 weeks. It's usually, they usually get cleared in 1 week to play the next Sunday.
Okay.
You know, he was going to play this. I tell people all the time, every job in this world comes with hazard. If I have a desk job, I can have carpal tunnel. If I go to the Army, and I come back and tell you I got shot, that comes with the job. All jobs have this. Like, if you asked me again and told me before I played that I had a chance to get CTE, I'm still going to suit up and play the game that I want to play. Now, I love how colleges and little leagues are starting to clean it up. They're starting to tackle better. They're coming out with new equipment. They're coming out with better ways to get the job done. But if you think players, you got to understand how players think. It's a alpha male mentality in the locker room, and you don't want to let your guys down just because I got my bell rung.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we always got back up in the day. You got your bell rung, get back up, play the game.
Mm-hmm. Think it's worth the reward?
The risk is more than the reward. You got to love it. If you're going to have one, what I call the 1% temp job, that's entertainment, that's sports, that's everything, you're going to have to risk a lot to get those jobs. You got to put a lot in, not knowing if you're actually going to accomplish that mission.
Okay, Sheree?
I mean, I've not played football, to tell you. I did competitive cheerleading and gymnastics. I've certainly hit my head. Mm-hmm. Have I been?
You got right back up,
probably
right?
Not, but no, yes, you are expected in sports to get right back up.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that they brought Gronk back early? No. But is it really nice that he's back and, like, gung-ho and maybe even a little bit more well-rested than some of these other folks?
You want that. Yeah. You want to be entertained. Like, how many people would really have really wanted to watch the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Jacksonville Jaguars? Even though we wanted New England not to be in the Super Bowl, nobody was going to tune in to the Campbell Soup Bowl. Nobody was going to tune in to that. Nobody. Let's be honest about that.
So, but with that said, and this is the other the Gronk piece that I want you and Coach to talk about. Talk about the synergy between Brady and Gronkowski. I mean, it is amazing to watch.
Coach, you want to go first?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's a history that those two have, obviously, and Gronkowski is the type of player that you can put him, you know, on the line of scrimmage. You can flex him out. You can, you know, bring him across on the shallow crosses. He can run the seven cuts. He can do all different kind of things because he's so tall and athletic. You throw the ball up, he'll go get it. Plus, he's got that little – that little it factor that he's just got enough nastiness in him that, you know, he's one of Brady's favorite targets, just like Amendola is. So when a quarterback has a go-to guy or a guy that he can count on and it's demonstrated performance year after year after year, then obviously it makes the two of them a formidable force.
More than a formidable force. He's 6'7", 265, 70 pounds. He's what you call a total mismatch. You could throw bad balls to him. His catch radius is unbelievable. He's too big for safeties and corners, and he's too fast for linebackers. Like I said, he's the ultimate bad ball thrower. You could throw bad balls to him, and he'll come down with them.
Yes, as we did see during the championship. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk about Achilles' heels. Coach, I'll start with you and the Eagles. What's the downside for them?
You know, much has been said about the Patriots having been there, like Brady having played in so many games and his experience in that big moment with the lights flashing. But, you know, if you want to say, you know, not having been there, I believe there's players on the 53-man roster for the Eagles that there's only about seven plays or players that have played in a Super Bowl game. So you can talk about that. I mean, sometimes it's like a rivalry game, whether it's home or away. You know, sometimes all that matters is put the ball down and let's play football. But, you know, if you're going to try to look at something, I'm sure that the Patriots would get the nod because of the experience of having been there, done that. And I will say one thing about the situational football that New England is really good at in the top five is in the last 2 minutes of a game, they're one of the best in pro football of scoring touchdowns and getting themselves in position to win games. So it's going to be interesting to watch that and how that unfolds.
Okay, and what about for the Patriots? Do the Patriots have an Achilles heel?
You know, I don't know about the Achilles heel. When you look at, and much has been made about when you make, and Fred mentioned that you get Tom Brady off his spot. When he stands back there in 7-on-7, man, he's one great quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see if sometimes you bring pressure that, you know, make the quarterback maybe give him some room to scramble, you know, to his offhand side. Sometimes you bring pressure to his sight side or whatever it might be. I'm sure Philadelphia will come up with some sort of scheme to affect him.
Coach, would you believe that the best Achilles heel for them is the running game for Philadelphia?
How about that?
Because the best way to stop a quarterback like Brady is to keep him off the field. And I think the running backs in the offensive line for Philadelphia are built to make this a short, ugly game. If you can keep New England within 55, 54 plays, not in their usually 75, 70 plays, if he's on the sideline and they have three or four 14, 13-play drives, LeGarrette Blount, time after time, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, bringing in Jay Ajayi, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I think they, plus their defense with Malcolm Jenkins, probably going to be the one that's lined up on Gronk. I think with that type of equation, I think they can get in there and never let them get the ball in the last 2 minutes.
Okay, go right ahead.
Pretty much what Atlanta did in the first half of last year's Super Bowl.
Before they blew it.
Which I think goes to Coach's point about the Achilles heel of the Eagles never being there. The Falcons were gassed by the fourth quarter.
And they're watching their game now. They're studying their game, what not to do.
And I think the Eagles, I read, even were practicing like the halftime. The halftime's longer.
End of halftime, though. That's where New England always finishes, situational football. You have to stop them at the end of halves and at the end of quarters. And their special teams, that's what I like about Philadelphia. Philadelphia plays great special teams, and New England does, too.
Okay, so let me go back to that because, okay, you all said something interesting. Yeah. I don't remember who said it. You said Atlanta blew it.
Yeah, they blew it.
Yeah.
Did Atlanta blow it or did the Patriots win it?
Atlanta blew it.
Why did Atlanta blow it?
Coach plus players, all right? You should not have been throwing the ball on third down in that situation. You should be running the ball with 6 minutes left on the clock. You're still up, I think at the time, 14 points, 2 touchdowns. Instead, they drop back. Matt Ryan's get sack fumble, going other way, short field for the offense. They score. The game is basically in the hand. It just switched to a team that been there before and a team that's wishing that the time just run off the clock. They wishing that the time just melt, and it never did because they've been there before. Look at all the New England Super Bowls. They only win by a top of 5 points. All of them be less than 3 points of victory. They finish better than you. That's what they do.
Okay.
I think we've even seen like the evolution of this Tom Brady, Bill Belichick Patriots in my mind that usually they'd sort of put a whoopin' on their opponent, right? And it's always the opponent trying to catch up.
Yeah.
This is a new era of Patriots ball that we're seeing them like sort of let the opponent, I don't know if they let them, but they like
show
they're
their
coming
hand
from behind.
Show your hand. Yeah.
They're like the comeback kids. They're like sort of, I relate it to like killer whales that they kind of like play with their food before they actually attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do.
She's
they
right.
Kind of like let them get comfortable, get confident. Oh,
and they just chew you up and spit you out.
They get you.
Okay, hashtag killer whale, hashtag bird flu,
hashtag take down that statue of Rocky.
Oh, my goodness. Let me take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation. We are talking about Super Bowl 52. Boy, I'm learning a whole heck of a lot here. Wow, man, oh, man. I mean, I don't know. Do I need to just stick in a DVD and watch the Star Wars trilogy this weekend? We'll be back. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to WHUR World.
Back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking Super Bowl 52 tonight with NBC4 sportscaster Sheree Burris, former Washington cornerback Fred Smoot, and Howard University football coach Mike London. Mike, are you still with us?
No, and I heard Sheree said something about the Patriots and kind of their the way they look at players and they draft players. When I was the head coach at Virginia, we had a guy named Rashad Dolan who was a corner drafted by them.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned some of the things that they look at. They want to know what their toughest academic class was. They want to know had they ever been a captain or, you know, how many times that they were chosen as the MVP.
Patriot way.
They want to know are they a graduate. I mean, so there are a lot of questions, you know, from an organizational profile standpoint that they have when they are scouting and looking to, you know, sign men to their team. So I thought that was a pretty interesting perspective about the type of team, the profile guy that's on that team.
What are you learning, Mike, or plan to learn or hope to learn on Sunday?
Well, that, you know, a talented team that has players, good players on it, that, as Fred said, it's very adept at situational football, to whether or not a really, really athletic and fast team can overcome, you know, that type of team. So, you know, either you're going to be, you know, the best thing you can do is be a smart football team, have a high football IQ, or a really good team of guys that can get after it. And Fred knows this, that your best cover guys are dependent upon the guys that are rushing. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what part of that's going to hold true.
Okay. So now here's my question, because I want to drill down just a little bit. We've been talking a lot about quarterbacks and, you know, tight ends and the like, but we haven't really had a lot of discussions about the wide receivers. How
the
key,
Davis?
Yeah,
ah,
exactly. There you go. And you know, and the cornerback.
Oh yes, sir. Hey, the hardest job in football, baby. You got to get a cornerback some love.
Yeah. So who has the upper hand when it comes to wide receivers and cornerbacks? Coach, I'll start with you, and then Fred, and then Sheree.
Well, you know, obviously at this point, the quarterback and the receiver have been throwing routes based on coverages, middle of the field open, middle of the field closed, bump coverage, off coverage, bail coverage. And so there's a little bit of something they know about each other. Now, even now, you got the back shoulder fades and the underthrown balls because the DB's playing on top. But I tell you what, I've seen some really good DBs. And you know, Fred had mentioned, you know, we had a guy on our team, Jared Green, whose dad was
– oh, yeah, Lil D. Green.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mr. Green, mm-hmm. That did a phenomenal job covering down on receivers. So it's going to be a battle. And but you talk to those – you talk about the Eagles secondary, man. They are guys that are like can-do, great attitude – and let's play ball.
And this, you know, Coach brought it up. Look at these defensive backfields. You got Stephon Gilmore. You got Malcolm Butler, the hero of the Super Bowl a couple years ago. You got McCourty back there at safety. So these secondaries rival each other. You got Patrick Robinson. You got Malcolm on the other side at the safety. You have DBs on both sides, but I think where the pendulum swings at, it's the defensive line. As a cornerback, I'm only good as the dogs I got hunting. And right now, Fletcher Cox could be the number one defensive lineman in the NFL, and he's lined up every bit of 4 inches away from Tom Brady every time the ball snaps. The best way to get Brady off the spot is A-gap penetration. Nobody has been able to block Fletcher Cox all year. I don't know if somebody said somebody's mama or what's going on, but Fletcher Cox is showing no mercy. Then you got Brandon Graham coming off the end. Then you got Chris Long coming off the other end. They're rotating 6 guys up front. So that edge goes to Philadelphia for the defensive backs, because their job going to be easier than New England, who has James Harrison, a man that's 49 years old rushing the passer. They have only one good guy that I think moves the pendulum on that defensive line, so I think it has to go to Philadelphia only because of the defensive line screen.
I've seen the Eagles just shred the Redskins this season, and they
come on, show us some love.
I'm just saying. Anyways.
They were painful.
They were. I mean, we've not seen the Patriots live, so that's that. But I think I like the Eagles. I mean, I guess sort of from a non-player coach perspective, to me, the heart and just this whole underdog thing and the passion you see and how loose almost that the Eagles have been this week.
Linebackers flying around. Everybody's there. Kendrick, all those guys.
Their passion is just – and I mean, it's just completely different from Patriots that it's very like assembly line. 1, 2, 3, this is how we do it. I love this passion and drive that I'm seeing from the Eagles, that I think that can get them maybe
this scares
over that
a couple of people too, because New England is known to beat the team that's coached by, let's say, the Seahawks. They're coached by an emotional coach, all right, where they're an emotional team themselves. New England has no emotion. They're going to outsmart you. When you play against emotional teams that take the identity of their coach, sometimes we can get rowdy, loose, and we not control chaos like a team that's doing it off of smart. So you did see Seattle beat them one time, but you also saw them beat Seattle by finishing the game, not being emotional, not being combustible. So that's something that could work against Philly. I think they need to really home in and not waste any energy, because I really do think front line, second level with the linebackers, and the defensive backfield, the third level, I think they do have the better team, and I do think they have the running game to keep Tom looking at the game like we're going to be looking at.
I like that, the passion versus the machine.
Yes.
Because when you have equal amounts of both, I still think, you know, that's my passion. I'm still going with Philadelphia. I think it still could be, it could be a toss-up. Now, Coach, what do you think about that passion versus the machine? We're gonna leave that. We're gonna coin that. Is that a hashtag?
Another hashtag.
at Burris.
Yeah.
passion versus the machine, Coach. Who has the upper hand?
Well, I tell you what. If the passion can last the whole 60 minutes worth of the game, I think that's something significant, because the machine is always going to be robotic and go back to what it knows. But I go back to what Fred said, that one of the things, you know, when I coached with the Texans, you know, Charlie Cassidy, by the way, Fred, was a general manager
mm-hmm.
of the Texans in 2005. One of the things was the outside pass rushers, and then the guy that's over the offensive right tackle, because if you're a right-handed quarterback, if you get pressure and push and make the quarterback step up from the right side being impeded and then make him go someplace else,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things that that you always try to do. And I've noticed that with the teams that have played against New England, and how, you know, they got Brady off, quote-unquote, the spot. They're having success like that. So it'll be interesting to see that passion and energy, if it's over the course of the game, because there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. If they can keep that thing going, I think it'll be a pretty good game, and I think the Eagles will have a chance.
Fred, you mentioned the Eagles' defensive line.
Monsters.
Okay, yeah. But what about the Eagles' offensive front line?
Well, they led by Len Johnson. They lost one of the best left tackles, Peters, in the league. Johnson comes from the right tackle, which he's a natural left tackle, so he feels at home. So you would think this offensive line would have took a step back. They've taken a step forward, all right? And then they know that they're going to lean on the run game. And offensive linemen love to put their hand in the dirt and go forward. They don't like to go backwards in pass rush, especially against good pass rushers. Well, you got to look at it. Philadelphia has Tricky Dicky Foles at quarterback right now, so they're going to try to not let him lose the game. They will not win this game if Foles has to pass the ball over 40 times. If he has to pass the ball close to 40 times, 35 times, they're not going to win this game. If you're going to lean on that Philadelphia offensive line, and if you really look at this offensive line compared to New England's defensive line, they do have the advantage. I think going forward, running the ball, they do have the advantage when it comes to this, and I think them working as a group, because people need to understand the offensive line is the smartest group of athletes on the field when it comes to football play. That shock you?
Oh, for sure.
That shock
they
you?
Are the
explain
that. They are the smartest group, and they got to work together as true tandem. They got to have each other back at all points. They got to point things out. They got to know all 11 positions on the defensive side and all 11
on
offense.
They're the ones with their backs to, like, the play happening. I mean, they snap the ball, and then they have to just trust what's happening behind them, that, you know, the QB's making something happen. The running back, you know, everyone's – the play's happening behind them.
Yeah, and they got to know A-gap. They got to know second level. They got to know when to double team, when they double team, and when do I get second level. They have to understand the defense to even run a play. They have to understand what we in. I know you see the center calling out players before the play, where he's letting them know where's the mic. The mic linebacker is the middle linebacker. Mic stands for middle. So once they identify him, everything else goes off of him. That's where the center knows that's going to be his point of attack. That's the quarterback. That's who we're going off of.
Fascinating. Coach, your thoughts?
You know what, Fred? You need to be an assistant coach.
Leave those walkers alone.
I love my football now, Coach.
I know you do. It's interesting that you look at the NFL channel, you look at all the different things, and all the people talking about what's got to happen. But again, I'm an energy type of passion type of guy, and I just I just associate that with what the Eagles got going on now. Again, I know the Patriots are tried and true and ready and steady and all that stuff like that, but you know, I just believe that sometimes, a lot of times, passion can take you a long way.
Interesting. Look, I only have a couple of minutes left, and I need to get this in. Two things I want to get in real quick. Alex Smith, Mr. Smith, is coming to Washington.
Oh, yes.
Good idea, Fred.
Great idea. I've been calling for it for 2 months. At the end of the day, you cannot date a girl that doesn't want to be with you, and Kirk Cousins did not want to date Washington, D.C. All right? So at the end of the day, what you have to do is understand I have two young quarterbacks in my division. One could be the best quarterback in football if he didn't get hurt, Carson Wentz, and Dak Prescott. So I don't want to rebuild. I want to retool. So I want to get me a stopgap quarterback. That's what we got in Alex Smith. It ain't like he's going to go out there and win you 12 games, but he sure ain't going to lose you no games. I could draft a guy like Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, let him sit behind him for 2 years, and now we're ready to play some football. They're going to draft a quarterback with that first pick, and they got the guy to groom him, the guy to teach him, and the guy for him to watch, but also keep us in playoff contention, and you did not break the bank. You can continue to get better on the other side of the ball. I think it was a perfect go. Because you don't want to be left with no quarterback.
You would draft Baker Mayfield?
Yes,
and
I will.
Him?
Yes, I will. Yeah, at the 13th pick, we're the 13th pick. If he slides to the 13th pick, he's going to be behind Alex Smith. I'm not finna throw him to the wolves right now. The worst thing you can do with a young quarterback is mess with his confidence, and he's not ready to play in the NFC East right now. I'm going to let him ride the bench, get a little rich man weight on him, let him go to Ruth Chris, eat a little bit, learn a lot, and then I'll throw him out there.
And final question, and this is for Sherry. This is probably the most important question for Sunday. Are we going to see Janet Jackson?
Oh, no. I hope so.
I got this. Who is he going to bring out with him?
Are we going to see
Janet Jackson
redux?
He can bring out NSYNC.
Yep.
What's the hashtag? Clothing malfunction.
Please have one.
Let's not. Please. Look, I'm going to thank everybody for coming in, and because I know everybody's working. You know, on this Sunday, one way or another. Sherry, nice to meet you. Thank you for coming
in.
I really appreciate it. Fred, always good to see you.
And say, it's nice to meet the pretty lady, but not nice to meet me again and again and again.
You know, it's always good to see you, you know. And, you know, she's, you're a great sportscaster.
Thank you. I
love to watch you. Coach, keep doing your thing as well. I really, really appreciate you joining us. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, February 2nd, for News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineer Iran Waller, and Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful, or better yet, have a super weekend.
The Howard University Radio Network is